afternoon, everyone. We've got the cast and crew of the film Yuli, which competes in the official section, and we've got, from the end, Juan Gordon and Andrea Calderwood, who are producers of the film. We got the actors Carlos Acosta, Kevin Martinez, and Laura de la Uz. And we've got the screen, Paul Laverty, and the director, Isiad Boyain. So I'm not too sure whether anyone wants to break the ice with the first question.
Bueno.
Well, first of all, bravo for all of you. It's a great film. And first of all, to you, Isiad, if I can use a first name basis and call you Isiad. This project, did you have it a long time back, or it's something, an idea that's just emerged a couple of years back? I say for a long time. You know, when I say a long time ago, it was a project that you left in the drawer. The second question for Carlos Acosta. If Isiad, would you mind answering the question first, and then I'll ask. I'm going to spell it briefly. The project, the truth be said, it's Carlos and Andrea have it, the British producer. They have been trying for quite a time, long time, to make a film upon the life of Carlos. And Andrea, she meets up with Paul so that he can write the screenplay. So Paul says that I would be the director, and then he's the screenplay writer, because we had agreed after El Olivo we were going to make a film together. So I was seduced by the story that script Robert, it's Andrea, Carlos, Paul, and then May, and I brought Juan. So it's we went hand in hand. Okay, this one's for Carlos Acosta. I imagine it would be interesting and beautiful at the same time to show the rest of Acosta's, the child and Kevin as well, and the adolescent or the teenager Acosta in the film, that part of your life, because we've seen and it wasn't easy, your life, from what we've seen on the screen. So I imagine that would have been something really beautiful in the film, don't you think? And difficult at the same time. Yes, difficult and beautiful. The truth is, Isiad had that part of working with the actors, because I met the child, the boy, when he'd already done some work. And with Kevin, what we worked before, he was a ballet dancer in my company. So therefore, and I think he was familiarized with my story. And for me personally, it was traumatic, the truth be said. It was the most enriching experience that I've ever had in my life. But traumatic because I had written an autobiography about 10 years ago as therapy to cure myself, heal myself from that past. And so therefore I was living it again. And all of a sudden, and I was remembering all of that past, my father who had already passed away. And it was quite traumatic, but nevertheless, and Isiad as well as Paul were helping me and driving me on. And I imagine you agree that the film, it's a very honest film with a lot of values, with a lot of integrity. And I'm very happy to form part of this project. It was, the truth be said, it was really fantastic. Hi, good morning. Well, to all of you, could you tell us, it's a film, it's very intelligent, it touches a lot of issues, the racial side of things. Your father was saying you were black, but you also had a sister who was black, and it's racism of within Cuba, within the family, women. So I'm not too sure how those issues, also political at the same time, slavery, how you made the decision of including them, because it's quite clear there are things that are fiction. But why did you include these issues? And then Carlos, specifically, you say at a given moment, you say you're sick and tired of carrying Cuba on your shoulders, but you continue to do so. And how do you manage to take this new Cuba on your shoulders? I'm not too sure you're going to continue. We have the feeling towards this new Cuba. You've always lived in Castro's Cuba. Are you going to continue to, you got the feeling that you've got the Castros. What have you got on your shoulders? What are you carrying on your shoulders also with this film? Well, shall I start? Paul, because who distilled Carlos's life, which is much longer, much more complex, and found the key issues for the film, was Paul, who has done a spectacular job, because it's very complex in a biopic to condense this. So it's Paul's job, and he did. Okay, thank you. That's the great challenge in the film, when there are different levels, when it's complex. If you can give something which is very deep and very important, but you've only got an hour and a half to do so. So the trick, so to speak, is to mix things up a lot out of a little, very few things. That's the big challenge with any script. And it's the first time I've done an adaptation. It's much better. It's better if the characters have already died, and then I don't have to struggle or fiction at the same time. That's even easier. But the truth is, when I met Carlos, straight away I felt a generosity which charmed me, the truth he said. And his family obviously was an important issue. But what's fascinating in Cuba's story, there are many things, it's all the story, the history of Cuba. The slaves started in the 16th century. I think the last decree was laws passed in 1886. So therefore, 1 million slaves from Africa came to Cuba, with the majority of the population, about 65%, are descendants of these slaves. So therefore, to not deal with this issue, I thought it would be shameful not to do so. But put everyone, it would have been a pity to not leave it to one. The trick is how to balance this great reality, which is so deep, that affected all of the Cuban population, but more specifically between family, parent, father and son. And also the key is the relationship of the father, who was a man who was very humble. He's a truck driver who is also, and he's also involved in the religion of his predecessors. So therefore, involving that in within the family provides the possibility of enriching the storyline. Sorry for my Spanish, it's a bit rusty. Well, in my case, what I can say is that I feel a great love for my country and the country. When one talks about one's country, you always talk about the ideology of that country, but the country, there are many, many fascinating people in Cuba, and these are the people that motivate me, for example, to want to make my project and founding a company in Cuba. I've got a dancing academy. Cuba will always be with me wherever I am, but at the beginning, I always had the pressure on me because I represented the entire school, like, for example, in the case of the Lausanne Grand Prix and the Paris Biennial. I felt that pressure, and the pressure that I had to dance to satisfy my father's dream. My father, I wanted to be a football player. I wanted to see Michael Jackson or whatever. My father wanted me to become a ballet dancer. So they were part of that. I had to dance for his dreams, my father's dreams. And so therefore I ended up being, it was the star of my life, and thanks to him, the truth is, I am who I am. But Cuba, its culture, its music, that's what motivates me. Guys like Kevin, who's got great talent, I'm not too sure, and many of you've had the opportunity of seeing in the film, but follow him because he's got great talent, and many, that's what motivates me, the truth be said, and I'm going to continue to do it forever, really. Hi, over here. Above all, congratulations for the great sensitive film. I was very moved when I left the film theater, and I tell you seriously, this is a question for the two dancers, both of them. One is the ballet dancers, you suffer physically every day through your training and rehearsing. Is it worthwhile carrying out all of that effort? And about the film, the choreographies, are they your own or? Hi. Yeah, we do. We ballet dancers suffer quite a lot in our body. and also mentally, it's a very complete sort of job, work, ballet dancing. And I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe, yeah, yes, we do have that have to work on our body and our mind practically every day, dancing. I'm not too sure. Is it worthwhile? Yes, is it worthwhile? Yes, the truth is, you work your body and you work your inside from the inside. When you interpret any scene, you've got to truly get into that situation. So this helped me, making this film as a ballet dancer helped me very much, participating in this film, because it contributes more and more heart to dancing and much more sensitivity to what you do. I'm not too sure. I agree with Kevin. That is to say, dance is considered almost a religion, because if you start to think about it, it's 8 hours a day, even Saturdays, it's not necessarily paid well, the truth be said. And nevertheless, but your health is it, because our body is our instrument, so the health is on the line and in risk in the benefit of others. So many people consider that it's almost a religion. So, and that is, that's the battle of the mind and the body. The mind is stronger than the body. The mind dominates and blocks pain. And it's a marvelous world, because when you're, and those processes are long processes, they're very long processes of rehearsing a ballet, and you're constantly changing and dancing. Specifically in ballet, it's anti-anatomic. It goes against the anatomy of the human body, because we've got to be outwards when your anatomy tells you you should be inside. So therefore, this brings along a lot of consequences. That is to say, operations. I've had about 5 or 6 surgical operations, for example. But at the end of the day, when you're living on stage, it is the most, it's addictive as well. It's marvelous. It's addictive. How do you get rid of this? Well, I try to keep dancing, but obviously, because it's something that's really, really beautiful. Through just movement, without saying a word, people come up to you almost crying of emotion because of just something that you can't, that's priceless. That is to say, one is capable of doing it with so much sacrifice and very focused and giving your life to it. That's the most marvelous thing. And of course it's worthwhile, because what one feels is, it's indescribable. It can't be described. And no, it's priceless, as I said. The choreography is with Maria Rovira, who's here with us today, by the way. Let's give her a round of applause. Our Master Rovira, she's a specialist bringing the inside and the interior of the dancers, and we needed in this film a choreography of that nature, because I understand that this film is pure heart. All of the scenes that were made were done at 100%. We gave it our all, and the same with the choreographies. All of the choreographies, the dancers, are from the company of Master Carlos, and all of us, we nurtured ourselves from him, basically. We tried to express what we have inside us in dancing. And Master Ithia taught us how to draw out our heart and put our heart into it. And that's what the interesting thing. It was a very strong debate and very tasty between Juan and Andrea, and especially me and Ithia. That's the mixed dance, not only the beauty of dance, which was fascinating in itself, appreciating that is working with dancers. And we'd never worked with dancers before, but to incorporate dance within the narrative, meaning something, not only the beauty of this, the dancing of these artists, but forming part of the narrative of Carlos's life, that was the big challenge. So I'm very happy that Juan has mentioned Maria, who has given us so much. And I must also mention Ithira and I the greatest fans of Alberto de Iglesias because his music is always super original, and to work with people like that has been marvelous. And that's the beauty of cinema, when there is so much talent from different disciplines, and mixing it within a narrative is beauty, beautiful. Can I ask a question? Because I had a lot of interest. The character that I liked, apart from the Carlos's family, is the Cherry, and I only met him once. I know Laura, for example, met Cherry. Could you talk about your relationship, talking to her before, if it's not a bother? Thank you, Paul. For me, within the project for many years, I'd been involved for quite a while, because life sometimes, not sometimes, life is very round, shall we say. That's what I'm getting at. It's like a circle. Many years ago, when Carlos and I met, he talked to me about a project and a desire he had of making a film. And it was another story based more, focusing more on Carlos's mother. And at that time, Carlos showed me photos of his mother when he didn't even have the film. He had nothing. There was no specific or complete idea. There was a slight general idea at that time, but that we didn't manage to do that project. But after several years, I received the marvelous news that Isiar was looking for me so that I could form part of the casting. So, and immediately that initial project came to mind where I was going to play the mother. I didn't know what happened, and it turns out I had to portray Cherry. And one of the notes that he said, don't see any images of Cherry before you play the role. Cherry is a personality in Cuba, of which I don't come from the world of dancing. Teacher Ramona de Sar, which is another script that I'll prepare for the future. Itziar and Juan and this crew and cast, if they want, they can do it as well, because The Life of Cherry is another film on its own, the truth is. I, first of all, and let me tell you something, by the way, and that is when I'm a fan of Ken Loach's films, okay? So I'm a big fan. So when I received the script, I started to read it, and all of a sudden there was a moment I said, in Havana, I was in bed, lying down and reading the script, and I was very aware that I was reading a script by Paul Laverty. And at that time in my life, I will never forget that moment. I've got to tell you that, Paul, and I've got to make this public, because it was a very strong moment to have that awareness that I had in my hands the opportunity of putting into my Paul's words into my mouth. And it was a marvelous script, a marvelous film, which was very emotional. I ended up crying when I finished it. And the second part, marvelous part, was meeting this woman, Cherry, who is a woman who has dedicated her all her life next to Master Fernando Alonso. Fernando Alonso, just in case you want to know, he created the National Cuban Ballet along with Alicia Alonso. And they were two great, courageous people that, despite having a very successful life in New York as first dancers of the New York Ballet Company, they dedicated part of their life to create a national ballet company in Cuba. And then Cherry, who was trained by Alicia next to Master Fernando Alonso, created the method. And for the company, she's still at her age active. She contracted everyone in the middle of her life in Cuba because of the lack of things and everything that we've got to fight against. And this Cherry struggling with her school and with her children. And she set up the school. Carlos is the most famous example of all of this. He's her special little boy, because he's the one that's gone very far. She knew he was going to make it this far when she saw him as a child, but she's a master who still sees light where nobody else can see the light. So therefore, and that is marvelous. So therefore, I just would like to say, I fell in love with Ramona de Sal, and look for her life, that marvelous master and woman and mother almost also of Carlos. I'm very, very, very proud. I'm living a very special moment at present to having worked with Itziar. Thank you very much, Itziar, with Juan, with the whole cast and crew. It's been a marvelous cast and crew and special. And Carlos, I feel part of achieving your dream by your side. Thank you very much.
Hola.
Hi. Yes, microphone, yes. The question is for Carlos because you're a professional ballet dancer. That's quite clear. But in this film, you've also had to, you've had to act. You've got to follow a script and you have to... What was your experience as an actor in this case and whether you would repeat it if we would see you in any other film from now on? I don't know. Well, I've had the good fortune of doing a few things in films before, but the truth is, what most the confidence and the trust is the director. It's a process which you're guided by the hand of the director in this case. So therefore, Itziar doesn't make many mistakes, by the way, and that the truth be said, because in the sense that she knows, she goes beyond what anyone can see, and she knows this very well. And it seemed to me, for example, a project at the beginning where I formed part of it was going to be crazy, because if I make a mistake in the project, I said, well, what if I bring it down? I said, why don't you better get why don't you hire an actor? But her and Paul said no, that I could do it myself. So that process of putting their trust in me is great for any actor. And so therefore, at the end of the day, you've got the questions: how do we do this? How do I do that? How do we say that? How would I say this? And so therefore, but she relaxes you and says, hey, take it easy, don't worry. And to all of us, all of the cast, she always takes very good care of them. And I never felt under pressure, by the way. But nevertheless, some other times I have, because in other cases I was, because I didn't get close to the director in some cases. I didn't know in some cases which way to go. So there were times that I had to improvise. And the director didn't guide me, and I said, do this, do that, or do a bit more of this or that and the other. So I felt a bit like a ship out at sea. It doesn't know where it's going. But when you've got a director like Itziar, she's got a longer perspective. She knows. And the idea was to work with her and to be guided by her. And that, at the end of the day, that's why we've managed to achieve that result. Perhaps even the young boy, she used mechanisms that for me were unknown to me, for example, with a young boy from out in the street. And what I feel by Itziar, what she's done with this film is a great respect to her, because I was a choreographer, I'm a choreographer and I've directed, but the way she directs, it's something that one should learn from. One final question here. First of all, I want to congratulate to the whole cast and crew, where we've moved the film as well as the human story moved me very much. And I wanted to ask Carlos Acosta two questions. The first is, what would be an x-ray of the current Cuban situation in the recent past when you started, for example, to dance up until now, whether it's gotten better or worse, or is it the same? And the second question, this film talks about taking a full advantage of opportunities. I'm never going to have an opportunity like this. So therefore, I'd like to ask you, what advice would you give, for example? I've got a 7-year-old daughter who is starting in the dance conservatory this year. What would you say to her to encourage her, or any child who's starting to get involved in the ballet dancing world? Well, Cuba, everyone knows that it's gone through many transformations from the 1980s. I remember the 1980s when we were kids. There existed the neighborhood parties, street parties, where all the citizens kept the houses very clean. And there was a committee to make sure who, what suburb and neighborhood was most beautiful. They made sure that the lawn was cut and kids played sack races and singing competitions. And that was that period. And that's the environment that I was brought up in. And then the barbaric period of the collapse of the communist system. So therefore Cuba was left out, what we called the special period. There were very tough years of almost 20 hours a day with no electricity, for example. And that brought about the exodus in 1994 when people went out to sea and tried to... Now, Cuba is still in mutation and transforming. There's a new constitution. And I imagine that over time, things will go the way they go, but it's still beautiful to see. Nevertheless, despite all of these many transformations, there still exists a very powerful community spirit, and this is very important. For example, there are still boys that remind a lot of people, these boys didn't know who or what Carlos. Everyone called me Yuli, and they didn't know who Carlos Acosta. If you asked them who's Carlos Acosta, they wouldn't. They say no, but obviously if you say who's Yuli, where does Yuli live? Oh, Yuli lives up there. And so there are still boys that are men now, obviously, who still call me that. So therefore, there's still the fact that the neighbors help each other, and that's beautiful. That the kids can play out in the street without any kind of problem. And that eclecticism of races, which has managed to achieve a level. You see Chinese, red, black skin, you know, a whole racial mixture of races when you see musicians out in the street. And that's beautiful. And this has been achieved by this philosophy of art is for everyone, independent of whether you have money to pay for it or not. People like us, we have been able to study something like, for example, ballet. Ballet is something, it is one of the most, well, I mean, ballet shoes can cost 100 euros. Imagine people like me, that would have been impossible for me to buy. But nevertheless, in Cuba, that process took place. Some of the boys were captured while they were horse riding. They said, look, hey, let me see. Oh, you do that. Don't you like ballet? And they said, they took him off the horse and they sent him to the ballet class in the middle of a country field out in the country. So my advice is, as I've always said this, they say, keep your aspirations alive. And this film per se, the testimony, shall we say, of this film, I see it as a testimony to that you can. Yes, you can. You can have grown and lived in a small suburb in the outskirts and make it as the first dancer in a company to maintain that spirit, follow your dreams, which is always mentioned. And what it does is it requires a lot of work. If you get involved in this world, it's a lot of work, a lot of work. To be able to fly and to jump with your muscles and to turn into the sun so that you shine so much yet that you can't be ignored. So therefore, the most difficult thing is to, despite the pain, maintain that spirit alive. Okay, with this ode to spirit and to work, we finish, and a big applause for everyone. Thank you.